I really do mean this. When we study marriage, it was, as I prayed earlier in the prayer meeting, this was marriage was God's design. It was not a human idea. It was a God idea. And it actually is, it manifests among humanity because it was first birthed in the relationship between Jesus and his church, the head and the body. Even before humanity was ever created, God designed that Jesus would have a body, a bride. We call that the church. That's you. It's you and I. Amen? And we're all connected to him. So when we study marriage, we're really studying the supernatural relationship between Jesus and his church, his bride, his beloved bride. Amen? And so we're so privileged tonight to have evangelist Philip Baker and his beautiful wife Laura with us tonight. We're so glad to have them together. And they're gonna tag team. This is gonna be like one of those wrestling matches where they tag each other, right? And when one's tired, the other one's gonna sit, you know, come up and just keep the anointing going. It's gonna be fiery. It's gonna be blessed. Amen. Would you give them a great big welcome and reminder? At the end of the service, we are gonna receive an offering to bless them. Praise the Lord. Come on, Philip.
Thank you, Pastor.
All right. Well, good evening. It took me so long to get here. 15 minutes. From Dickinson. I feel like I got away with something. I feel like I'm cheating. You know, this weekend we're preaching up in Missouri, and that's going to take longer than 15 minutes. So this was nice. It's so good to be here. Laura and I, we love this church. And, you know, we're right in the middle of the greatest year we've ever had in ministry. Amen. Celebrating 24 years of traveling and preaching over 50 churches a year, and it just keeps getting gooder and gooder and gooder. I'm never going to stop having more fun than I ever have. Happiest evangelist, you know. Amen. And we got 17 more churches to get to before Christmas, where we got Bulgaria next month. But it just wouldn't, the year wouldn't be right if we didn't get over here to Believers and get to see all you guys and get to see your pastors and get to hang out with them, because we've been on this journey together for a very long time, and kingdom relationships are very valuable to Laura and I. You know, we've never had a business card. You know, we've never called a pastor we don't know. We've never written a pastor we don't know. Everything we've done, over 50 churches a year for 24 years, has been done through relationships. Amen? And so that's what this is. And speaking of a kingdom relationship, got the hot chick in the back, and we're fixing to celebrate 39 years of marriage. Amen. September the 12th, we'll be in Bulgaria. And I got married on my birthday. Lost my birthday. It's her anniversary. And hey, good. Good, good, good. But this is the path. And, you know, this part of our ministry has really grown over the last 20 years. We've done this seminar 8 times just this year. And it's something that's very special to Laura and I, because, you know, when you have strong men of God, you have strong marriages. When you got strong marriages, you got strong families. When you got strong families, you got strong churches. You got strong churches, you got a strong kingdom. And so, you know, the reason we do our seminars, we do leadership and marriage and the altar, and of course, are blessed because financial seminar. And the reason we do these seminars is because if a church has strong leaders, come on, strong families, an on fire altar, and strong finances, you got a church, don't you? That's why we do what we do. And then we flow in the Holy Ghost on Sundays. And so it's been a phenomenal year. So welcome to the path. And the reason we call it the path is because a great marriage, it's not a destination. You never arrive. Just praise God you've left. It's a journey. It's a path. And what you want to do, even after 39 years or 15 years or 10 years or 1 year, you just want to stay on the path. And so we have some handouts, and I think I saw them on that back row. If this would probably be a good time to go ahead and hand those out, that would be great. But hey, let's do this real quick. How many of you in here are married? Come on, raise your hand if you are married. Okay. All right, let's see who's been long. Who's been married over 5 years? All right, who's been married over 10 years? All right, 20 years. Oh, this is going to get good. 25 years. All right, 30 years. 35 years. Man, you get people, y'all old. Come on now. 36, 37, 38, 39. Who's over 40? Who's over 45? Oh, we're getting down. Okay, we got two. We got two. Go. How long? Hello. Almost 50. Come on, give me a hug, girl. Come on now. You get a hug. And how long you, Miss Rose? 55. Come on, give them a hand clap. Oh, that's awesome. Awesome. Oh, 55. Okay, you were busy handing stuff out. Come on. That's awesome. Has anybody just got married? Who's been married you guys? How long? 2 years. All right, so he's still honeymooning. All right. Good about what with y'all? 2.5. Okay. We were doing a conference up in North Houston a few weeks ago with Pastor Juan Martinez. They do a big Love Wins marriage conference, and somebody got married that morning. We had the conference on Saturday, and they called up Pastor and said, "Can we get married this morning?" So they met them up at the conference, and they got married this morning. They were just sitting there. Hey, they hold the world record. Stand to your feet. I want to pray, and then we're going to jump into some things. We're going to tag team. And there's some things that there's just been a real strong prophetic flow this year in the services. And there's just some things by the Holy Ghost. I want to pray over this church. And then there's a couple of you the Lord just kind of spoke to me about. And I just want to pray over you guys. And then we'll get Pastor up here to tie a bow on this thing. We brought a table out there. And before we leave, I'll take 2 minutes and tell you about that table. But let's pray. Father, we come before you right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you. We're under an open heaven. Father, we declare we're standing on holy ground. Father, thank you for your word. Heaven and earth will pass away. Your word will never pass away. Father, thank you for the ministry, the person of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, teach us, guide us, instruct us, correct us, challenge us, get up all in our business, anoint us for the days ahead. And Father, everything today, everything we do, everything we say, everything our marriage is about, the journey ahead, will all be in the mighty, holy, wonderful, incredible name of. And everybody said, amen. You be seated. Praise God. Again, a great marriage is not a destination. It's a journey. It's a path. And so what Laura and I want to do is we just want to get you a little further along the path. And maybe if there's somebody here, and you've kind of find yourself right now, maybe kind of on the side of the road a little bit, we'll get you back on the path. Amen? Get you back on the path. And I just really appreciate you being here tonight. You know, like I said, we've been doing this seminar for over 20 years. And I can't tell you how many times we've heard, well, you know, there was some other people that were supposed to be here, but, you know, they didn't come because they just thought everybody would think something's wrong with their marriage. Everybody knows something's wrong with your marriage. Ain't nobody in here got a perfect marriage. Laura and I don't do this seminar because we got a perfect marriage. Come on, every time we share these things, we're talking to us. Is that all right? We on the same path y'all are. But if you want to, turn over to Genesis 29. Every time we do the Path Marriage Seminar, we always begin in Genesis 29. This story is the theme. It sets the tone. It really sets the stage for these dynamics that we're going to be sharing tonight, and we're only going to get to 4. And then next Wednesday night, we'll get to 6 more and share a few other things. But this story is very dear to us. And if you ask my wife, out of all the things I've preached over 4 years of full-time ministry, this is her favorite. So here in Genesis 29, verse 1, it says, Jacob went on his journey and he came into the land of the people of the east. And what we're talking about here is you got God's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They didn't want Jacob marrying some you know, close women. They wanted him to kind of go back home, go back to his culture, go back to his people, go back to where they came from and find a bride. And so, you know, Jacob went on a journey. He went on a path. Amen. And skip down to verse 10. And it came to pass, Jacob came across these people. They're feeding some sheep. He sees Rachel. Everybody say Rachel. He sees Rachel. Boom. Come on. Boom. I feel the earth move. Come on. He saw Rachel. Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, the sheep. And he goes and he rolls the stone from the well's mouth. He waters the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. And then check out verse 11. I mean, come on now. It says, and Jacob kissed Rachel, lifted up his voice and wept. I mean, did anybody in here, when you met your significant other, you just walked up to them and just kissed them and then just, did that happen to anybody? Did he just walk up to you and just plant one on you and then just start crying? Did that happen? No, it didn't happen. He said, Brother Philip, he probably just kissed her. You let me preach it the way I want to preach it. Preach is better this way. Do y'all remember when y'all met? Come on, do you remember? All right, Pastor Scott, I don't know if I ever got this story. When did you meet her? At a 1982 at a band practice. Can you still kind of close your eyes and remember it? What was your first date? Where'd he take you, Mr. Leon Patella concert. All right. I remember Leon. I got to see Leon Patella. Yeah, we talking 80s. Yeah, we talking Imperials. Oh, we're talking Carmen. Come on, right? Yeah. That's what we're talking about. Come on, do y'all remember when it's the first time you met? Of course, at the gym. Right, first date. Where'd he take you? Sushi place. All right. Well, I guess things worked out. All right. Come on. Anybody remember? What about you guys? First date. Where'd y'all meet? Yeah. All right. All right, Mr. Pilot. Where'd y'all meet? You got her number. You were working there? Y'all were just... You both shopping, and he was just like, how you doing? I mean, it just, first date, what was the first date? Okay, all right. What was the first date? Starbucks, okay. Rachel, where did y'all meet? Arranged. Said with such excitement. Worked out all right with you. Now, you guys, it was right after World War II. And I'm sorry, World War I. And where did you and your husband meet? High school? Oh, man, sorry. Yeah, no. I love all those stories. Laura and I, we were going to Louisiana Tech in Ruston, Louisiana, and we were both working at Walmart. So I got me a Wally girl from Wally World, and she was a cheerleader there at Tech, and I was a nobody, and she was greeting the door. You know how they got the door greeters, and I'm telling you, a girl could greet a door. The door was greeted. And she went out with my best friend, Charlie, and it did not go well. He ticked her off. And so that was over. So I swooped in for the kill. And we went out to Calhoun, Louisiana, ate some boiled shrimp, and my lips swelled up. And then we went and saw Jumpin' Jack Flash with Whoopi Goldberg. Anybody remember that movie? Horrible movie. But our second movie was Top Gun. Come on, we got over into the danger zone. Amen. And so that, you know, this is when Jacob met Rachel. Lifted up his voice and wept. And so I'm just kind of moving through this story. So, you know, she takes him back home. He meets daddy. And, you know, he's already whipped. Verse 16, and Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful. Brother Philip, what does tender-eyed mean? Well, I'm going to go with the opposite of beautiful. And so, you know, Rachel, you could look at her all day. Leah, you kind of had to work into it. You know what I mean? You kind of had to ease into her slowly. And needless to say, Jacob loved Rachel and said, I'll serve you 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter. And then probably one of the most romantic scriptures in the Bible, it says, and Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had towards her. Yeah, you better say all. 7 years, and you know everything was locked down. Come on, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, there were some chaperones at all times. And so, now let me just kind of tell you the story. So 7 years go by, they get married. And if you go back and really research the culture and the weddings, I mean, it was a big affair. Everybody came in. It was days and days and days. There's a lot of wine flowing. Come on, somebody. Right? You got veils. They get married. It's awesome. They go into the honeymoon tent. It's awesome. They wake up the next morning, let in some sun. He looks over. It's not Rachel. He's in bed with Leah, Miss Tenderite herself. Ruh-roh. Come on. Can you imagine how fast he put his robe on? You imagine how mad he was? How fast he got out of that tent and wanted to go rip Laban apart. What would you do? What would you say? You know, how could you do that to me? Come on. I waited 7 years to marry. I mean, I'm shocked it didn't get violent. So what did Laban say? Laban said, listen, I can't marry my younger daughter till I get him to marry my older daughter. And so listen, just fulfill her week. Everybody's already here. We got plenty of food and wine. And next weekend we'll have another wedding and I'll give you Rachel. But you got to give me another 7 years. Now you say, well, that's just horrible that happened to Jacob. Well, don't feel too far sorry for him. Because see, whatever you sow, you reap. Jacob's name was a deceiver. He was always the sharpest knife in the drawer. Anybody that ever came across Jacob, he got the better of him. And he deceived everybody he ever came across in his life. Well, guess what? All his chickens came home to, and Laban got him. And the reason Laban got him is because Laban knew that blessing, come on, blessed to be a blessing, that Abrahamic covenant was all over Jacob. And from the time Jacob came in to that area, everything changed. And Laban knew it wasn't because of him, it was because of that boy. That boy. He wanted to keep that boy around as long as he could. So a week goes by, he gets married. So I want y'all to catch this, because this is what the path is all about. He goes from zero women to two. He's got one woman, Rachel, that he loves with all of his heart. And then he's got another woman, Leah, that he's going to have to choose to love. Have you figured out yet that a great marriage has far more to do with a choosing love than it does a feeling love? Now listen, I like me some feeling love. Come on, romance and just all that. Man, it's wonderful. Oh, we love the feelings. We love the kissing. Come on, we love the goosebumps. We love all that stuff. Been married 39 years. I still chase her around the house. I mean, come on now, let's go. I like it, but you can't build a marriage on feeling love. There's days you wake up, there ain't no feeling. Come on, the hair's crazy. The bad breath is kicking. Come on, you know what I'm talking about? You can't build a great marriage on a feeling love. Thank God for the feeling love, but you better have some choosing love. Because there's more days of choosing than there are days of feeling. Come on, if you've been married 10 minutes, you know what I'm talking about. And so, you know, life goes on, but maybe something you've never seen before. And I'm fixing to give you one of the greatest twist endings of any story in the history of the world. Turn over to Genesis, the last chapter. Genesis 49. Jacob's old. His name's not Jacob anymore. It's Israel. Come on. 12 sons. And he's old. He calls all 12 of his sons in, prophesies over every one of them. He's giving instructions on where he wants to be buried. And he charges them, verse 29, said, I'm going to be gathered into my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that's in the field of Ephron the Hittite. He's given these instructions. They're writing them down. There's a cave there. There's a cave there that granddaddy bought from Ephron the Hittite. And look at verse 31. There they buried grandma and granddaddy. Abraham and Sarah there. They in that cave. Yeah. There they buried Isaac and Rebekah. There, mama and daddy are in that cave. And there I buried Rachel. What does it say? All those years later, who did he want to be buried by? Leah. Which love lasted, the feeling love or the choosing love? That choosing love lasted. Listen, Leah was always God's plan for Jacob. Rachel might have been beautiful on the outside, but Leah was beautiful on the inside. Rachel had issues. She was envious. She was bitter. Most of her life she was barren. It was only by the grace of God and Jacob's intercession that she had a child. Six of those boys came from Leah. Two of those boys came from Rachel. The other four came from handmaidens. Which one of those boys was the most important out of the 12? Which one of those boys was the lineage that Jesus would come from? Come on, he's the lion of the tribe of? Guess whose mama was Judah? It's Leah. Now, I am not saying you have to marry an ugly woman. And I am not saying that if your marriage lasts a long time, it's because you married an ugly woman. What I am saying is that woman right there on the front row, she's my Rachel on the outside and she's my Leah on the inside. And you don't have to choose between one or the other. But I'm telling you, you're going to have both to stay on the path. So God has given us these dynamics. And tonight and next Wednesday night, we're just going to share 10 of them, just 10. 4 tonight and 6 next Wednesday, just 10. And some of these dynamics, you're going to be like, we got that. Yeah, boom. I agree. Yeah, you know, you're going to walk out and you're like, man, we got that one down. But there's going to be one or two of them that are going to be like, need to work on that one. Need to work on that one. You're going to feel the Holy Ghost going, hey, 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 Holy Ghost, hey, hey, need to work on that one right there. And that's where choosing comes in. That's where a choice comes in. Feeling ain't got nothing to do with it. It's you making a choice going, oh, it ain't going to be that way no more. I'm making an adjustment. I'm making a choice. I'm making a decision. We're fixing to, come on, draw a line in the sand. And it ain't going to be that way anymore. It's going to be this way. And you make that adjustment in your heart. And no one will be able to tell by looking at you on the outside. Because that's not where it happened. Where did it happen? It happened right there. It happened right there. I don't expect y'all to make 10 choices. I expect you to make one or two, maybe three, and it changes the whole trajectory of your life and your marriage. And it not only affects you, but it affects the next generation. Amen? So, can you have the choosing love and the feeling love all wrapped up together? You're not going to have it by accident. You got to work at it. And that's why we're doing the path. So, are we ready for these dynamics? So, let me grab my little sheet of paper here. We only got four. I'm going to do two. Laura's going to do two. And then we're going to wrap this thing up. Dynamic number one is this. And as I look around the room, I mean, it's just confirmation after confirmation after confirmation. It's like a prophetic voice. It's one of the most amazing things I've ever seen about women is y'all's ability to marry down. Every man in here, you've got to know you married up. I mean, look at Scott and Terry. I mean, brother, you outkicked your coverage. You're fighting above your weight. Come on. I mean, look at this. Look at this. Colton, come on, brother. Come on. Hey, listen, you cute and all. God, I don't want to hear it. You married up. Brother, come on. Are y'all feeling this? You know, a great marriage depends upon every man in here having a revelation that you married up. When a man understands that his wife is an object lesson of God's grace in his life, she's something you never deserved, it'll get you further along the path. And I'm going to tell you why. And then Laura's coming with dynamic number two. We hit and run, man. We're tag teaming. Here's why it's important. Because men, if you put your wife on a pedestal, and you love her and you cherish her and you just worship her and you take care of her, there's something in your wife. God put it there. And it will be activated, and that woman will take care of you for the rest of your life. She'll make heaven on earth for you if you'll put her on that pedestal. But when the man is on the pedestal, he can't handle it. Listen, I preached all over this world. The man can't handle the pedestal. When a man gets put up on the pedestal, he can't handle it. He'll doormat that wife for the rest of her life. In most countries of the world, women are property. They're on the same level as cattle and property and resources, because the man is everything and he is to be worshiped, and that woman is doormatted. And what's in her that God put in her is never activated. And it's just hell on earth. But men, I'm telling you, if you'll get a revelation that you married up and you'll treat that woman accordingly, grace will activate in her and she'll take care of you all the days of her life. And what God put in her will manifest and it'll be amazing. Come on, give my wife a hand clap.
Dynamic number two is, it's one, you know, all of them are important, but I'm telling you, if you can get a hold of this one, this is one of the, we do several different versions of the path, but this is, we always do this dynamic, because if you can get a hold of it, it can change the whole atmosphere of your home. It's real simple. Men love and women honor. Marriage isn't complicated. It's just two things. When men love their wives and women honor their husbands. It comes from Ephesians 5, start about verse 25. And God's telling, hey, men, love your wives. Men, love your wives. Men, love your wives. Men, love your wives. He says it four times. And then he says, women, honor your husbands. Women, honor your husbands. Now, he only tells women twice. And he tells men four times. Thank you, God. You wonder why. I know that it would preach so much better if that was really the reason. Because men, you know, don't stop and ask for directions and stuff. But that's not the reason. It's not the reason. It's because it comes natural for a man to lust his wife, but learning to love her is something it's something he has to learn to do. It comes natural for a man to lust his wife. And so when I'm up here talking and I say it doesn't come natural for a man to love his wife, I'm telling you, if y'all could be up here, I got men going, I love my wife. Okay. It does come natural for you to lust her, but it's something, loving her is something that you have to learn. Because it goes all the way back to Genesis. Adam was not made for Eve. Eve was made for Adam. And so I want to talk to the women a little bit to start with, and talk to the men to start with, and then women, I'm coming your way. But, you know, men, growing up, I was not a reader. You know, I wasn't one of those people that just consumed books. I wish I was, but I could consume a Cliff Note. You know, y'all remember Spark Notes? I had a collection of Spark Notes because I could understand those, and those were quick. Well, I'm fixing to give you the Cliff Notes, how to love your wife. And you've probably read it. Most of you probably read it. It's called The Five Love Languages. If you've read that book, raise your hand. Well, we need to get some of those books here. I'm telling you, that book changed our marriage. We got it pretty early in our marriage. I'm going to give you the Cliff Notes, because men like headlines. You know, they don't want all the details, you know. So this is the Cliff Notes of it. Basically, what it says in that book is everybody has a love tank. And when someone speaks your love language, that tank fills full. And so there's five love languages. Okay, you ready? Number one is receiving gifts. I'm not talking about expensive stuff. If your love language is receiving gifts, it can be a Route 44 Diet Limeade from Sonic. He comes in the house with that, and I'm like, I'm loved. That's my love language. Can you tell? Receiving gifts, it just means I thought about you today. Number two is a quality time. Somebody, if your love language is quality time, you don't want to go to a movie with them. That's not quality time. That's going to watch a movie. You want 10 minutes undivided attention. You just want to connect with them. Then you've got words of affirmation. Now, if that's your love language, a compliment can take you, you'd be on cloud nine. It can take you for a week. A true, sincere compliment. And they know the difference. But let me help you. If your spouse's love language is words of affirmation, you got to remember that words carry so much weight that negative words are held on to a little bit longer than they maybe should. Okay, so that goes both ways on that one. And then you've got, personal touch. Now, I'm not talking about sex. We will get there. But I'm not talking about that right now. Somebody whose love language is personal touch, they're just touchy people. You know them. They're going to hug you. When you walk into the church, they're going to hug you. They don't want a handshake. They want to hug you. They want to touch you. And it's important for them, for that personal touch. I'm not talking about the intimate time. I'm just talking about personal touch. And then I just lost the last one. Don't you love that? I had it on my phone. Oh, acts of service. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Acts of service. Thank you. Acts of service is you do something for them they didn't ask for. Like if you came home one day and you'd worked all day long and your husband had cleaned the house and like mopped the floors and cooked you some dinner. And so then you would like make sure you were in the right house. You go back and check the numbers on the door. But that's something that you didn't expect them to do. Okay. So that's the love languages. And I'm talking to the men, but I'm talking to women too. You need to know what your spouse's love language is. If you don't know that, you're behind the eight ball. You need to know what makes them feel loved. What is it that you do that makes them feel loved? Because we all want to feel loved. And so what we've got to do is we've got to learn to speak each other's love language, but that's not what we do. We speak our own love language. So when I come into the house and I have like some new clothes for him, and I'm so excited because what was my love language? Receiving gifts. And I give it to him and he goes, oh yeah, just put it over there and I'll try it on later. I'm like, what'd you say? What do you mean go try it on later? We know how to speak our own love language, but it's not important that you can speak your own. It's important that you speak your spouse's love language. So if you don't know what that is, that's your assignment for tonight. Go home and find out what their love language is. And then just so you know, guys, girls' love languages change throughout time. Just when you get to thinking you know what it is, they're going to change it on you. There you go. Men, that is your cliff notes to how to love your wife. Now, ladies, I want to talk to you because it is so important. And I want to talk to you about how you honor your husband and what that even means, because we don't use that word in America. We use the word respect. And just so that you know, it is something that God put deep down inside of a man. It is a need of a man to be respected by their spouse. So if you don't agree with it or you don't like it, then you go talk to God about it. Because he put that deep inside of a man. It's not his number one need. We all know what that is. But it's right up there. A man needs to be respected by their spouse. And he knows if you do respect him, he knows if you don't respect him. And, you know, honoring your husband. This is the definition that God gave me years ago, and I love this definition. It's celebrating him for everything he is and not stumbling over everything he isn't. Celebrating him for everything he is instead of stumbling over him, over everything that he is not. And what happens that we get into this vicious cycle in our marriage, and we've got men that say, you know, they're not saying it out loud, but they say, I'll love her when she can learn to respect me. And you got women that says, well, I'll respect him when he learns how to love me. And you've got this vicious circle. And nobody's needs are being met. And so when you get those things right, when you step back and you go, you know what, as a wife, I'm going to honor him whether he ever loves me the way I need to be loved or not. Because it's what the Word of God says. And when you line yourself up with the Word of God, watch the atmosphere in your home change. Watch the mood of your marriage change. When you get a husband that says, you know what, I'm gonna learn to speak her love language so well, I'm going to think it's my own love language. And you say, I'm going to love her if she never honors me. It's amazing when you begin to meet the need of the other person that God gets right in the middle of it. And when God gets right in the middle of it, it takes care of a lot of all this other stuff that we talk about. Because God's a God of order. And this is how you have order in your home. And whatever God is speaking to you, whatever in this area, listen, ladies, we can always learn how to honor more and honor better. And it doesn't matter whether you think he deserves it or not. It's what the Word said to do. Men, we can always learn. You can always learn how to love your wife better. And if men will work at loving their wives and women will work at honoring their husbands, there'll be order in your home and in your marriage. And it will bring peace like you have never seen before.
Amen. All right, so number one, men marry up. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Number two, men love, women honor. Again, you can't say it any clearer. Men, if we'll work at loving our wives, and ladies, if you'll work at honoring your husbands, man, everything kicks in. Everything kicks in. Number three is I call the leader of the pack. And it's God's desires for the husband to be the leader of the family. His desires for the father to be the tip of the sword. Men must step up. Women must allow men to lead. And I said it earlier tonight. Great men of God, great marriages. Great marriages, great families. Great families, great churches. Great churches, great kingdom. But where does it begin? It begins with men of God. It begins with men of God. And if there's ever an hour for men to rise up and really take the lead, man, this is that hour. And someone who's been in church my whole life, saved when I was 7, filled the Holy Ghost when I was 13 years old, full-time ministry since 1990, over 50 churches a year for 24 years now. Most of the churches that I go in and my childhood and what I saw in my teenage years, so many times what churches are today are because of the work and the sacrifice and the prayer and the giving and the worshiping and the serving of women. I grew up in homes and in my families where the women were always the spiritual heads of the house. Whether it was my grandma, whether it was my mom, whether it was my aunts, it was wives dragging their husbands to church. It was the women that were doing all the praying, women that were doing all the serving. It was the women doing everything. And I'd like to have a dollar for every woman that's ever walked up to me before church, after church, in an altar, and said, Brother Philip, would you just pray for me? Pray for me. Would you just pray for my husband? I just really need a miracle. You know, when we first met and we first got married, you know, he was going to church with me, but then he stopped going to church with me. He just, you know, he got offended over something. He just really didn't want to go anymore. And so now, you know, I just have to go by myself. And, you know, we got kids, and then the kids are like, well, you know, if daddy don't go to church, why don't I have to go to church? And you know, and then when I do come to church, you know, I come home and he's pouting, you know, because he didn't want me to go and want me to stay there with him. And Brother Philip, would you just pray? I really need a miracle. I need a breakthrough. Come on, Pastor Scott. Have you got that one before? A few times? Very few times have I got the opposite, where a man walked up to me and said, hey, Brother Philip. Because here's the thing. When a man kicks in, everything comes into play. I always use this analogy. When children come down to the altar, oh my gosh, it's so cute. Everybody pulls out their phone and takes pictures, right? When teenagers come to an altar and worship God, the kids will follow them down there, because if the teenagers are down there, it must be cool, right? If mama comes down to the altar and begins to worship God, well, we know the kids are going to follow because the children want to be with mama. But the teenagers, they ain't going down there, because if mama's down there, hello, that is not cool. But when men come to the altar and worship God, here comes the kids, here comes the teenagers, and here comes some celebrating, happy wives. Men, it's time for there to be not just a program, but a men's movement in the earth, where we begin to rise up and just begin to lead, be the tip of the sword. There's a church in Shreveport, Louisiana, a friend of mine was telling me about, man, it's just exploded in Shreveport. And 30 minutes before church, there's hundreds of men in the altar praying together. And he said, and this friend of mine said, they walked in, and they walked in about a quarter till, and there's hundreds of men in the altar. And he goes, he said, it didn't matter what that pastor preached. It didn't matter what happened. I'd never seen anything like that before. It's time for a men's movement. It's time for a men's movement. It's time for a men's movement. And there's just something I believe that's pleasing to God on a Sunday morning when Daddy wakes up and it's his voice that is echoing through the house. Hey, everybody get up, get dressed. We heading to church. Come on. It's the man of God that's bringing his family to church, not the wife that's dragging their family to church. Can I get it? Amen. Come on, give me a let's go if I'm on. Come on. Amen. Got to be the leader of the pack. We need a men's movement. We need a men's movement. Come on, Slar, give them the last one.
All right. Dynamic number four is confronting influences of the past. And, you know, we all have past relationships. And I'm not talking just about guy, girl. You know, what were you raised? What kind of home were you raised in? You know, what kind of parents did you have? Were they divorced? Did you live with grandparents? How were all of the past relationships that you have formed who you are? Some of that's great. Some of you just, you had these amazing parents. Well, you know, please go home and call them if you can and thank them. And that's great. Some of you were not raised, y'all put some serious dysfunction in the world, right? I grew up in that kind of household. It was just me and my mom. And so I didn't know anything what a relationship was even supposed to look like, what a marriage was supposed to look like, what a husband was supposed to look like. So what did you grow up? What did you see when you were growing up? That's influenced you. That's part of your past. Then we've all got these, you know, guys or girls or ex-husbands or ex-wives. You've got people in your past that you've had relationships with. And what you are not willing to confront, you will never, ever overcome. So what happens is you get married and you bring all of this stuff into your marriage. You know, you've got how your parents, you know, let's just say you were raised in a home where, you know, every time a situation came up, you need to talk about something, you know, it escalated to yelling. You know, for me, and I'll just be honest, for me, my mother never heard me till I got to a certain volume. And so I learned real quick, let's get there quick. You know, I don't want this going all night. Let's just go ahead and get there. And so Philip and I had been married for like 10 minutes. And we were having a disagreement. And I was talking to him and I was stating my case. And so I got to the volume real quick and he looked at me and he goes, why are you yelling at me? He goes, now baby, we're not going to have that kind of home. Because he came from a home where there was yelling. He goes, we're not going to yell. He goes, I love you. Well, it diffused all of that. And he said, we don't have to yell. We can talk. Well, that was new to me. That was new. But I had all that baggage from the past. And so what kind of home were you raised in? Were you raised in, you know, when there was conflict, the silent treatment went for a week. No one talked to anybody. And you could feel that. You ever been in a house like that? You cut that tension with a knife. It is just... Or did you live in a home where as soon as there was conflict, somebody left? Were you in a relationship where you always felt like you were going to be left or you were always being hurt by words? Or you have to look at that, because what happens is we bring all of that baggage into the current marriage. And it is not fair for your spouse to pay for something that they did not do. They're paying for something that somebody else did. And so we've got to, you know, to have a healthy marriage, you've got to confront the influences of the past. How have they influenced you? Those are hard conversations. They're hard conversations. And if I'm talking to you and it's hit you, then you've got open wounds. Everybody has wounds. We've all got wounds. But if you work on them together, if you allow God to heal them, then they turn into scars. And Philip talks about this a lot. Scars don't hurt. You can touch a scar. You can talk about a scar. You can tell the story of the scar. It doesn't hurt. But an open wound hurts. So you've got to confront to make your marriage whole. You've got to confront influences of the past and how they have affected how you see things, how you handle things, how you process things. You will never overcome what you are unwilling to confront. And that's where we are. Then we're ending this tonight. you know, we're going to, Philip's got some other things he wants to do, but the things that we've talked about tonight, you know, the confronting influences of the past, it's one of the ones I think that we can sweep under the rug a lot and just go, well, this is just how I am. Well, if it lines up with the Word of God, okay, you're good. But if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, then you've got to address that with yourself. That's got to be between you and God. Amen. So let's be honest with ourselves, which is really hard, because what happens most of the time is when you've got all that baggage, you've also brought on yourself this victim mentality. And so you're waiting for somebody to hurt you, to hurt your feelings, to leave you, to you're waiting for that. And you're actually kind of cocked for it. Okay, I'm ready. But really the root of all of that is that you've got some unforgiveness in your heart. You've got some bitterness. You've got some things that need to be confronted. And I promise you, if you'll bring him to God, I promise you, he'll heal you. And it'll turn into a scar and not an open wound. Amen?
What was the first thing Jesus showed the disciples after he was resurrected? Laura and I, we got some beautiful scars. I love our scars. They're our testimony. They're the source of our greatest anointing. You get to show them off and say, if God did this for me, God can do this for you. Amen? But they got to be scars, and that's where the blood comes in. Rachel, would you come and begin to play? Come on, somebody say the blood. That's where the blood comes into play. The blood can just heal those wounds. And, you know, we're in churches and you got half the marriages end in divorce. So, you know, one of the things that we've had to remember and build into the path is the fact that probably half the people sitting in a church, you know, they're on their second or third or fourth marriage. And in that comes with a lot of hurt. And there could be wounds there. And to get those wounds turned into scars will get you further along that path. But you can't hide from it. She said it, you'll never conquer something you're unwilling to confront. So let's stand to our feet. There's a few things I want to just prophetically deal with. And the first thing is those wounds. Just every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm not going to embarrass anyone. But at the same time, I think you know that Laura and I have really tried to be real and authentic and, you know, raw with you tonight, honest. And it's not so much, you're not being honest with me, you're just being honest with the Lord. If because of past relationships, mom and dad, relationships you've been in before, there was hurt, there was bitterness, there was unforgiveness, there's been some wounds, and you haven't allowed God to heal them, but you've kind of spent your time, you know, licking your wounds, nursing your wounds, using them as a reason, as a crutch. And you know the Holy Spirit tapped on your shoulder tonight and said, hey, this is the night. The blood's going to flow. And we're going to get those wounds turned into scars. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You're not coming up here. I'm not going to embarrass you, but you say, Brother Philip, that's me. Just lift your hand right where you are. Who needs to get some wounds turned into some scars? Yeah, I see those hands. Hallelujah. Yeah, I see those hands. Thank you. Thank you. Everybody in here, just lift your hands. I want to pray over you. And when I pray, I just want you to reach out with your faith and receive. Father, we come before you right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, I just thank you. Father, your presence, your glory, your anointing is here, and that anointing is breaking every yoke of bondage. That anointing is breaking the yoke of offense and bitterness and unforgiveness. Father, your anointing is breaking the yoke, and Father, your love and the blood is flowing. And Father, right now, you're touching wounds of last week, wounds of last year, wounds of decades ago. And Father, right now, that blood that was purchased at Calvary is flowing in the lives of every person here, and healing is taking place in our lives. Healing is taking place now. and wounds are being turned into scars now. And we reach out and we receive it. Come on, now, when? Now, in Jesus' name. Just thank Him. To say, Father, thank You for my scars. You say, is it that easy? Yes. See, is it that easy? Yes. Just say, Father, thank You for my scars tonight. Thank You for my beautiful scars tonight. I'm going to spend the rest of my life showing off my scars and telling people, hey, God did this for me. God can do it for you. And I can touch those scars now and they don't hurt anymore because they're scars. Father, thank You for my beautiful, come on, come on. One more time. Father, thank You for my beautiful scars. Hallelujah. Look up here. The second thing was I wanted us to pray that men's movement echoed in my heart. Believers Fellowship's got the greatest men's ministry in Alvin. Come on. Believers Fellowship's got the greatest men's ministry in all of Houston. Come on. Come on. Believers Fellowship has the strongest men's ministry in all of Texas. Come on, somebody. All things are possible if we'll just believe. Can we pray and call that in? Come on, lift your hands. Let's pray. Father, we come before You in the name of Jesus. And Father, all over this world, all over this world, what You're showing us in Bulgaria, Father, what You're showing me in churches everywhere is, Father, You're raising up men. You're raising up men of God. You're raising up Davids. You're raising up Elijahs. You're raising up Ananiases. You're raising up Stephens. Father, You're raising up Barnabases. Father, You're raising up Stephens, mighty men of God that will lead, that will be the tip of the sword, that will bring their families to church, that will be pillars of faith, pillars of wisdom, pillars of the Holy Ghost, pillars in the church. And Father, because the men are taking their place and even taking their place in the altar, that Father, here come the children. Father, here come the teenagers. Father, here come young families. Father, here comes women who have been praying and believing God for years. Father, we decree by the name of Jesus and by the power of the Holy Ghost that You're raising up a men's ministry for such a time as this at Believers Fellowship. And everybody said, phew. 2 Corinthians 9:8, that all grace would abound towards us, that we would have all sufficiency, all sufficiency in all things, all grace would abound. All grace would abound, all grace would abound. All grace would abound, and all that we would have all sufficiency in all things, that we may abound and abound and abound, right? Abound with what? Every good work. Every good work. Did it say some grace? Did it say a little grace? Did it say Texas grace? Did it say Alvin grace? It said what? I mean, all means what? If we're not seeing all grace, and I'm talking to Laura and I just as much as I'm talking to y'all, if we're not seeing all grace, then we're not reaching out with our faith enough to reach out and grab hold of that all grace. It's time for all grace. And there's never been an hour that we're seeing more darkness and more sin and more distraction and, come on, and evil all over the world. But the Bible says where sin abounds, what? Grace. What kind? All grace. Tonight, Believers Fellowship, you men of God, can we reach out with our faith tonight and grab hold of this all grace and begin to contend for it and get it in our heart and get it in our mouth? Amen. That spirit of faith, that word of faith. Come on, out of the abundance of our heart, the mouth speaks. And as a church, we have one heart, one voice, and we begin to declare we're in a season of breakthrough, and we're in a season where all grace is abounding. Where? Right here. And in your family and in your life. Come on, lift your hands in this place. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Father, right now, we stand on Your word. Father, You said all grace can abound towards us. And so, Father, we reach out with our faith. We reach out with that faith as a grain of a mustard seed. Father, we reach out with our faith And Father, we declare for all of heaven and hell to hear that at Believers Fellowship in Alva, Texas, this church, these families, for such a time as this, that, come on, all, say it with me, all grace is abounding towards us. That we would have all sufficiency in all things, that we may abound to what? Every good work in Alvin, in America, in Israel, all around the world. That no matter what the Father brings across the path of this church, you'll have all sufficiency for that good work. This is a church, head up, shoulders back, looking for those good works. Looking for those good. All right, Father, you bring them, we'll meet them. You bring them, we'll meet them. You bring them, we'll meet them. You bring them, we'll meet them, because all grace has abounded towards us. Father, thank you. We declare that over Philip Baker Ministries. We declare that over Believers Fellowship. Father, all grace. Come on, somebody, all grace. All grace, all grace, all grace, all grace. I looked over there earlier tonight and I saw Miss Visionary over here. That got my attention because that's one of my favorite words. I love that word, visionary. And man, when I saw that, it just, man, my heart just, you're my favorite. I know I like you. Anybody that's got enough sense to wear visionary on a cap. And I just heard the Lord say, tell her, don't settle, don't settle, don't settle, don't settle. Don't. You're a visionary. Don't you settle, don't you settle, don't you settle. The enemy of God's best is good. Don't you settle for good. I rebuke good in Jesus' name. You ain't got no business messing, looking, hearing, talking to anything in your life that's good, because you're going to take and have God's best. And the Lord told me to pray over you, and that God, that part of that grace is He's just going to give you a grace, a greater grace to believe bigger and think bigger and dream bigger. But then I heard the Lord say this, does anybody in here want to reach out and receive that word for your life? You know, the prophetic. You know, if I wanted to get some water on you back there, well, guess that water is for you, but what's going to happen? Anybody want to reach out and get wet? Come on. Anybody want to decide tonight they're not going to settle? The enemy of God's best, come on, is good. You're going to reject good? How many of you want God's grace to touch your life and you start thinking bigger, believing bigger, dreaming bigger? Well, stretch your hands out towards Miss Visionary over here. Because through her, that grace is being poured out on all of us. Father, thank you for that woman of God. Thank you for this visionary. Father, thank you for what you're doing in her life. Father, she's in your hands. Holy Spirit, you're moving in her life. Angels, you're working on her behalf. Favor is increasing on her. Momentum is building. She's in a breakthrough season. Father, she's not going to settle in any area of her life, spiritually, physically, financially, relationships. Father, in the authority of the name of Jesus, I rebuke good. And I declare that what's going to define her life is your best. So, Father, right now, your grace touching her life, touching all of our life. Father, we declare your grace right now is increasing our capacity to think bigger. Come on, believe bigger. Dream bigger. And Father, we'll be sure to give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor. Come on, did you reach out in faith and receive that? Laura and I, we reaching out. Father, ooh, thank you, Father. I don't know if you're feeling this, but I am. Father, forgive me for not thinking big enough. Forgive me for not dreaming big enough. Forgive me, Father, for not believing big enough. Forgive me. Last word. I've never had this never even had even a thought of this word before. But Pastor, I'm from Spring Hill, Louisiana. That's where I was born and raised. And there's so many preachers that came out of Spring Hill. Joe Morris, you know, who's out of Mark Brzee's church. And of course, Paul Trokel, Benny Anglin, Jeff Spring, me, Daniel Nickerson. There's all these preachers. Mark Hankins was even a youth pastor there for a while. God touched that place in the 70s. And Joe Morris's mama was this, her name was Evelyn Morris. And back in the early 70s, she got a hold of Brother Hagin's material. And those prayer meetings you were talking about in the 70s, that was Evelyn Morris's house. And the Holy Ghost spread through Spring Hill, Louisiana. And all these preachers went off to Rhema. And now they're preaching the gospel all over the world. And they're all my friends. And when you said the things you said tonight about the 70s and the 80s, I just heard the Lord say, in times gone by, He's touched Alvin. But He wants to touch Alvin again. And ministries rise up out of this place and go all over the world. Does that a confirmation in anybody's heart? Lift your hands in this place. Father, thank You for all You've done in the city of Alvin, Texas. Father, the churches, the ministries. Father, the great men and women of God who have come through this town over the decades that have preached the gospel. Great men of God, like T.L. Osborne. Great men of God, great men of God, great men of God. Going all the way back, Father, to Charles Parham. Going all the way back to Azusa. Going all the way back, going all the way back. Father, Your hand has always been upon Alvin. Father, You touched Alvin. And Father, we're asking You to touch Alvin anew. Father, we've had the former, the latter rain. Father, it's time for the former. It's time for this rain. Father, we ask You to send the latter rain on Alvin, Texas, and raise up ministries and preachers to touch the world. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Thank You, Father. Come on, if you believe God's done it, come on, give Him a hand clap. Hallelujah. Just give me 2 minutes and Pastor's going to come. That lets him know he's coming. Laura's going to go back there at the table. Grab a magnet, put it on your refrigerator. God's raising up people to pray for us. We just put out a new book a few months ago called Breakthrough Now. Everywhere I go, people believe in God for a breakthrough. Every one of you in here, I can sit down with you and in 30 seconds, you tell me the breakthrough you're believing God for. And you don't need it now, you need it yesterday. Well, it's not about luck or timing or chance. It's about revelation. It's not something you're waiting on. It's something you got to step into. See, what? Step into what? What's going to get the book? And then this is the book that goes along with this. It's called The Path. We wrote this a few years ago. Laura and I wrote it together. We did four dynamics. There's 265 in this. And when we do The Path, we always do the book for $10. And the reason is because, hey, you can get one, but grab one and sew it to a couple that you know. As you can tell, we're not super spiritual, theological. We try to, everything we do with The Path is very practical, applicable, memorable. Amen? Something you can put into play immediately. So that's back there. And then, I didn't bring one, but there's some bags back there. And that bag, let me tell you, that bag's not something you buy. It's not something you, it's not for sale. That bag is the greatest thank you I can build for you. That bag, it's got our media flash drive in it that has our entire media library in it. It's like 16 series, and it's got all 5 of our books in there. When someone sows $100 towards Bulgaria and these churches that we're going to, our thank you is to sow that bag into your life. So Laura's back there. You can cash, card, check, whatever you want to do. And it'll be a blessing to you. It'll be a blessing to us. And we'll go to the world with the gospel. Amen. Pastor, come on.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much. Excellent, excellent. You can be seated for just another moment. I'm going to have the ushers come at this time. We want to receive an offering this evening and also next week. And we'll bless Philip and his wife real big. So, ushers, if you come, if you'd like to sow tonight, just as a way of saying thank you. You know, anytime the Lord blesses us, it's important to say thank you. So if you want to give an offering, cash or check, just raise your hand. The ushers will get you those envelopes right now. Or we can put the, if you put up here how to give electronically again so we remember how to do that. Just want to encourage you to sow tonight a seed of thank you. Amen. It's not thank you to Brother Philip. It's thank you to Jesus. Amen. The Bible says that when he ascended on high, he gave gifts to men. This gift we've received tonight, it came through men, but it came from who? Jesus. Amen. The fivefold ministry, the gifts to the body of Christ come from Jesus. And anytime you receive, you know, if someone walked up to you right now and handed you a gift, Kathy, it is polite, it is courteous, it is fitting to say what? Thank you. Right? And so I want to encourage you, even if it's just $10, $20, I'm not going to tell you the amount to give, but just sow a seed of thank you in some way tonight to the Lord to say, Jesus, thank you for opening my eyes in this area. Amen. Like Philip and Laura shared earlier, you'll walk away with maybe just one or two truths, but it could be life transforming. Amen. I know I took down about 8 or 10 that I need to work on starting tonight. So for my own life. And praise the Lord, I'm thankful to the Holy Ghost. Has this been good? It's been great. Praise the Lord. So ushers, if you come, we're going to pray over this evening's offering. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to just tell you our thanks for what you've given us. We've received tonight from your Spirit. We've received truth from your Word. And most of all, Jesus, we just thank you that you are solidifying in us, strengthening in us how to build lasting homes, lasting marriages that will endure the race, endure the test of time. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name tonight, we just bless you, Father, with this offering, and we thank you for the chance to say thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I want to encourage you to come back next week and bring somebody with you. Talk to a neighbor. You know, marriage is just kind of a generic subject that neighbors can talk about. You may not talk to your neighbor often, but you know, you can talk about politics, news, and you can talk about marriage. You know, say, hey, me and my husband went to a great seminar last week at Believers Fellowship Church. They're going to do another one this Wednesday. Would you come join us? Would you and your husband like to come? It'll bless you. It'll help strengthen your marriage. And you don't have to say anything about the gospel. Just say, strengthen your marriage. Everybody needs a better marriage. Like they said tonight, that was a great opening line, by the way. I don't remember how it went, but you're here because everybody's marriage needs help, all right? Amen. Everybody knows it. Let's stand together. That's good. Well, Father, we just thank you again for your presence here tonight. We thank you for the anointing. We thank you for wounds in our lives being turned into scars by the help of your Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. You did it for men and women all throughout the Bible, all throughout the Old Testament. You turned their wounds into scars and trophies of your grace. And we thank you that you've begun doing it tonight by the Holy Spirit in us. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen. Amen. Be blessed as you go.